Electronic Real Estate Recording Commission. It's April the 14th. And here in attendance in person is Bob Horton, Kay Ruckey, and Mike Kniff. And I know we've got on the line Jeff Carlson. And I know we've got on the line Eileen Roberts. Is that correct?
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Eileen.
Hello.
And do we have any other members on the line?
We have Joe from West Central Indexing.
Okay. Very good, Joe.
And Pam Trombo from APN.
Okay. Very good, Pam. Welcome.
And Chris from Carlton County.
Okay. Sounds good.
And Janelle White from Burnett.
Very good, Janelle. Well, why don't we proceed with the agenda? Everybody take a look at the agenda. Anybody have any additions? Anything else they'd like to add or any other items regarding the agenda? Hearing none, we'll move forward with the agenda as is. Minutes from the previous meeting, which was February, if those of you remember. And those were sent out to us here in the mail.
Mike, one observation about the guests. I did not call in for that meeting, so if you want to make a correction there.
Sure.
Okay.
We can give you credit.
I know. Thank you, though. Thank you.
You note that Rob Reitz was not in attendance at the meeting on the February meeting.
Regrettably,
yes. Your spirit was, though, here, by the
way. Yes, it was.
It was talked about. You were talked about. Good things were said about you, so.
Thank you.
Any other questions, comments regarding the minutes? Hearing none, I would entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve with the amendment.
I second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the minutes with the amendment of deleting Rob's name from the attendees. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion's carried for the minutes. Thank you very much. Next item on the agenda is the ECRV update. And we've got Jason Parker here with us. And I know the Department of Revenue has been making some very, very significant strides in bringing about a product that I think we're all going to be very happy with. And I think you're going to be able to be very proud of, Jason, and the department will be here for what you get to roll out this year. So I'll let you, if you can, share a little bit of an update here with the whole commission and anybody else. So.
Sure. Thank you, Mike. Report that Lincoln County has joined the e-recording piece for ECRV, and Renville sent a note this week and will probably be enabled next week. So that, with Renville, that would bring up to 10 counties. And this morning we were in attendance with at the prep conference in Bloomington, and there were a number of counties within the metro area that were all voicing that they intended to enable e-recording rapidly here, and that included Ramsey and Scott and a number. And so I fully expect those counties also to become enabled. If they want to do deeds, they need to get the ECRV portion up as well. So we can welcome them as quickly as they decide to join up, and so that's good news. There's been more and more momentum for counties, Lincoln, I had met with a region meeting before and indicated that there was no penalty to join up, but I hadn't heard from them for 2 months, and then suddenly out of the blue they said, we're ready to go. So I know that people are thinking about it and working on it out there, I'm not getting looks like, well, we'll pay attention to this when we need to. Instead, it's, when do we need to start moving on it, and how does it work, and so forth. So I think the attitude is a lot different out there in terms of at least adopting the ECRV portion. In terms of the, as Mike said, the development team has been rapidly improving the version 2 of the application. And right now they've been vetting improvements to the workflow area to make sure that we can question or a
hello, someone, do you need to mute somebody or okay.
So what was I just talking about?
You were talking about the development, and it's moving
right. Right. With the version 2, and I know that. We're talking about updates to the workflow, and in particular to make sure that we're accommodating the super cities of Minneapolis, St. Cloud, and Duluth. So we've been vetting updates and meeting directly with those counties. I was in St. Cloud twice this week, as it turns out. Jim and his team are going to Duluth tomorrow, and that should complete enough so that they can actually devote the programming resources to implementing those features. But I know that they're already on their way. But we need those features done in order to move Dakota from version 1 to version 2. And that is the staging here over the next couple months, is to move Dakota as rapidly as possible to version 2. And that would be in the next month or two. And then at the same time, we've been giving the URLs for the testing of version 2 to a number of counties. I've got more than enough to handle, but that includes counties like Sherburn, Hennepin, Washington, Steele, Clay has logins, there's Blue Earth has logins. There's a number of counties that have logins, and so they can look at version 2 as well. But the Gantt chart says that version 2 will be ready at the end of July. And so if those counties are testing and migrating their process, there's no reason why they couldn't be in production starting in August. And so I fully expect us to add two or three counties to production in August, in addition to Dakota. Now, this is separate than the e-recording piece. This is just the full login, the full use of VCRV. So once that happens, then I will be aggressively pursuing and asking other counties to get their logins. And as I reported last meeting, we've got the December 1 date is a date where we're saying, look, and I think the right way to phrase this is that on December 1, the ECRV form is the preferred submission form for all sales in the state. For the CRV. And if a county doesn't have logins when that is made available, it works just like the e-recording process does today. The submitter would have to print out the document and bring it to the county, and the county would process it just like paper, or they would submit it via an e-recording packet, and the county would then print it, and it would proceed as paper. But you can see where if you just tell the county, well, okay, you've got that, and we've made it available in December, why don't you go ahead and get logins, and then you can get rid of your paper process, at least for those ECRV-submitted ones. I think the counties will say yes, that they want to do that. So another thing that the December frame, to repeat some things that from last month, is that it is firmly established as us trying to move the entire submitter community to using ECRV. And by doing that, we're setting the stage for possibly making legislation to eliminate the use of the current paper form, or at least rapidly decrease the use of the existing paper form. I think that is my update in a very quick form. And there, if you have additional questions.
I might just add one comment. From the submitter perspective, the partial submit, I've seen the version that they are working on in terms of being able to save your information. So you could go in and update it, and then if you're missing information, you can save it, and you'll be able to go back in and then update it when you get that information. I think it'll be very helpful. I think submitters are going to be very pleased and excited about it. The only item I saw when I was going through it was you're going to have to remember, I call it the username, but it's the doc number name that you're going to have to submit, and then you'll get a password that'll be generated when it comes, and you've got to remember those two items in order to go back in and re-enter. If you forget them, there's not going to be any. If you forget your password, click here and we'll remind you of it, or you can reset it, it'll be gone.
Right.
But even with that, I think you're going to find it real helpful, and it will be very much better than what you have at the present time with the existing version. So I think that's real positive.
Thank you. And hopefully that will speed adoption of the front-end use.
A question about that. Will this user ID and password be something that is generated for each ECRV that's done?
Yeah, let me recharacterize it a little bit. We are not tracking the submitters. We don't create a file for the submitters. We are not creating, you know, like when you go to a commercial website to buy something, you create an account. We don't create accounts. What we are doing is supplying two four-digit numbers that you have to remember in order to retrieve that particular CRV.
Okay.
Once you submit it, those numbers are no longer valid.
Okay.
They go away. And it is for each CRV. So that answers the revenues issue of, are you creating templates? Because it's only this set of questions is only good for one CRV. That's it.
Right.
What it does do is allow you to save them in advance. Go back and edit, save it again. Go back and edit, save it again, up until the moment of submit. Once you submit, though, that set is done.
And as I understood, is that what you just said, that the Social Security number will have to be re-entered each time you go back in?
Yeah, technically, yes. And what that, you know, it's only being saved on, I mean, one of the other advantages to this system is the document is only being saved at the revenue's website, server. So in that sense, if it were to be saved, it'd be secure. The issue is if somebody just happened to, you know, guess right on those four-character digits, then if we'd save the Social Security number, then it could be, shown. So just to prevent that, you have to re-enter those. You have to actually, that's the declare statement. So when you say, I declare this to be true and valid, that answer is also not saved. Otherwise, all the other ones are saved.
And I think that's going to be a real enhancement that will make it much, much more user-friendly.
Is there a limit time period to go back?
Yes. So then right now I think it's set to about a month, 4 weeks. Exactly how long it should be set is something that, we would be open to what the industry and counties sort of agree is a valid time frame. I don't think it probably ought to be longer than 30 days, but maybe it ought to be shorter. I'm not sure. But right now, I think it's set to 30 days or 2 weeks.
I think e-will certificate, the title companies, you wanted a specific time, and it's been a while now, so you might want to refresh my memory, but I was thinking it was 90 or to 120 days out.
For some reason, 6 months sticks in my mind, which is on it.
I think for a Welsh certificate, right off the bat.
I think what would be very good is, Janelle, you, Rob, if MLTA would kind of weigh in on that, what do you think you need as a reasonable timeline? I would think you're going to need, I would guess, at least 30 to 60 days. I don't think you probably need as much time on this as you need on the Welsh certificate.
Right.
But I think you ought to just weigh in and let Revenue know what you think on it.
Yeah, that's good.
I don't think from a county perspective it makes any difference.
Right. Because you won't see it anyway.
We won't see it until you finally finish it. So
right.
It doesn't make any difference to us.
It's just a matter of the timeliness of the sale. How far in advance are you? I mean, for revenue, I guess the issue would be if it's a long period of time, then we start to question, how accurate are the answers to these questions?
Well, Jason, look at it this way. Sometimes we don't get packages that include a deed in our office on a transaction for 6 months after the transaction closed, which might be 2 months after the negotiated purchase agreement took place. And that's what we deal with, and that's what a recording office would deal with. That's what an assessor ends up dealing with.
So in
that sense, you may have the transaction completed, I give you an example, my own personal situation. I closed on a refinancing. Well, it was a refinancing, it wasn't a purchase, but closed on a deal in the 20-something of December. It didn't get recorded until the second week in February. Now, why did it take 6 weeks to get it recorded? I don't know. But it might have been a gap of over 30 days before somebody put the ECRV information in.
Well, and there the trade-off is, do you want to encourage delay or allow delay? And, you know, so we are
your
open
CRV
to listening.
Your CRV isn't going to, the shorter time isn't going to encourage them to come in faster.
Okay.
The liability that exists out there for the closing operator, I think, is enough incentive to get them to do it faster.
Yeah. Okay. I think when you're talking about a form in which specific fields are being saved from time to time, it's going to vary. The residential transaction, perhaps 30 to 60 days from the time maybe a purchase agreement comes in to such time as the closing takes place and you actually have documents to submit. Commercial transactions, it's going to be a little bit longer. So I think you're absolutely right, Mike, in that the industry needs to have that discussion in terms of the CRV, see what would be a reasonable time frame that would work for both residential property and commercial property, and then make that recommendation to the department.
It might also have to check on with the well certificate, too, because somehow 120 days is a mechanics lien thing that always stays in my mind, and so somehow 120 days somehow seems a little bit long, too. I just don't remember. Maybe Janelle remembers, too. But the consistency might be beneficial, you know, so there's not a number here and a number there.
Sure.
That type of thing.
That makes sense.
And I can understand that the ECRV would be more current, it would have more current information than a well certificate. But.
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. Thank you. Well, I agree with Rob, and we can certainly discuss that as a...
Good. Good. I think that would be helpful for the department to get that kind of feedback.
Yeah. Thank you.
Agreed.
The other thing I just pass on that folks, Jason, from the department have shared with us is their plan to have a website where people will be able to go in and access this information after it's been accepted and put into the county. So you'll be able to go online and be able to see those ECRVs in the future. Now, that will not necessarily mean bulk access, but as I suggested to them, they ought to get a product available and sell it to those that want to subscribe to it for bulk access if they wanted to get all of them in a given period of time. And I know there are customers out there that are interested in that sort of thing, and that probably could be a revenue stream that could help pay the maintenance of this thing ongoing, because I know there are folks that would be interested in that.
It's that possibility has been discussed and you know, at length. One of the issues is that, you know, we currently don't do that, so there's infrastructure around maintaining those accounts, setting up those accounts, collecting it. That requires staff, you know, so you quickly, you know, for the amount of money that maybe we're talking about, the amount of extra revenue that might be available to cover the maintenance side, you know, begins to look smaller. Currently, there is already the public access for version 1 for Dakota sales. You can go out there and retrieve accepted CRVs right now for Dakota. And the way it's broken down is that you can retrieve basically a month's worth of sales in a particular county for a particular sales year for all classes of property. And so it only takes 12 of those queries, and we just don't want someone to pull down 38,000 records in one shot from Hennepin, say. So we break it up into, you know, by month is the biggest grouping of times you can query. So that's already out there for version 1, and version 2 will replicate that. The key piece to remember on that is that it's only accepted CRVs, because you want to make sure it's representative of a real sale. And the second piece is that I forgot what the second piece was. So you can't really do the bulk thing on that because it's a public access piece. So we would have to do, you know, accounts and so forth if we were going to do a bulk. And then how much people would pay is something that, you know, that takes a little bit of market research. That's not something revenue does either. So. You know, it's hard to understand exactly how that would be, but in terms of maintenance, it is something that's on the docket, and the steering team is well aware that that's a possibility.
Well, you're going to have some that are going to want to get electronic. They'll buy access electronic. Finance and Commerce.
Well, they can already get it because it's public data. I mean, they already do get it from us. So the convenience is, what kind of ad hoc query can we provide them? That's the convenience level. And
how are they getting it now from us?
Well, they make a data practices request. And so, I mean, it's we get all the data via electronic.
You're talking about like Dakota County now, you mean?
No, I'm talking about all CRVs in the state.
Okay.
People come to and make a data practices request now. And we've been collecting that data from the counties via flat file format, so it's in electronic format now. And they can just request it.
Do you charge a fee for the time?
Well, you know, by the statute, the data practices request, you know, if we don't have to do any processing on that, we don't charge a fee. If we have to put it into a format and you know, that has additional costs, we can charge them for that. It's not a profit center, of course. So there's limits on how much money
I think.
You need
a more creative attorney to read the statute better for you. This has commercial value.
Well, I am just a messenger.
You need to read that section of the law, but that's a whole different topic.
It is definitely true that if we provided some ad hoc query and some convenience features around that, that maybe we would get subscribers to subscribe to annual, you know, access to that. But how much we would really reap through that to pay for the maintenance of CRV is an open question that would require a little bit more looking into.
Okay. The other thing that I would just tell all of you that the department has worked on that will be very beneficial for all the counties is to upgrade their capability to get rid of double entry and make the information much more user-friendly for the county assessors. And I think there's a great deal of excitement that I see going on. When I see our Hennepin County Assessor's Office and the Minneapolis Assessor's Office going hand in hand and saying kumbaya in terms of what the revenue department's doing, I know they're on the right foot. So that normally does not happen. So, Jason, again, I think kudos to what's going on over at revenue on that front. And the same thing is true, I know, up in St. Cloud, where you've got one city that's in three counties, and that creates all sorts of issues as I'm learning. Never cease to learn new things about our state and some of the nuances on how we have to deal with some of these things.
Right, and we're trying to make it a single application, not one that's, you know, got different versions for different groups of people.
Go ahead. I see that they're providing workflow opportunities for counties to deal with those nuances that are going to be required to make it usable in every part of the state. So I think that's also requirements gathering part is really going on as they're developing. Maybe it should have gone on before they started the development, but I think it's taking place, and I think the product and the end result is going to be pretty good.
The county code section is there in version one. It just is going to be, with additional development resources, we're able to make it a little bit more usable in terms of formalizing how it's used. Whereas in version one, it was a free form entry. In version two, we'll make it accessible through an administrative piece, and then it winds up being a pull-down menu and then added to the search piece. Yeah. So, you know, actually the ability to do your own private workflow was there from the start. It's just how much development effort was put into version one. We stopped development on version one and switched it over to version two. The second item that I was going to say on the retrieval is that the information that is retrieved through that public access is the submitted information only, not the edits that the county makes. And so, and part of the problem about providing access to the edits is that the edits aren't done until the equalization process is done. So you could have a sale in February of 2011, and that equalization process isn't completed till the following June, a year and June, and only at that point is it really, you know, a valid process to provide access to that edited data. So the public access is for the submitted data, which obviously hasn't been corrected by county if there were any errors in there. For most of the people that care to pay for this, they're only interested in the right-of-way data anyway. They're not interested in the formal final piece. unless they update their databases.
The only data that has commercial value is that which has happened probably in the last 120 days. After a year, they tell you it has no commercial value at all. Now, that's
sure.
What I'm hearing from the private sector. So, anybody have any other questions about the CRV? If not, thank you, Jason, and send our kudos back to the department. Thank you.
I should do that.
Really
thank
excited.
You.
I know our assessor's office is real excited about what they're seeing, and everybody I'm talking to says the same thing. So thank you very much. Much appreciated.
I think today, hopefully today, EPN is going to have a submission from one of our local people and with the deed. So we'll see.
Great. Yay for Martin.
Yeah, finally.
Good, Rocky. Good.
We'll see.
Good. Well, let's turn to our subcommittee reports. Trusted submitter, Jeff, I don't know if you had anything to update us on or report on.
Sure. We had our MLTA conference in St. Cloud this earlier this week, Monday, and we had about 150 members at that conference. We get a lot of, I'll say, outstate participants there. And we had Jason Parker update the ECRV, which he did a great job of, and I think there was a lot of excitement, especially around being able to use ECRV, the system, by December for all things. I know people want to throw away their typewriters, so they were excited to hear that. And then Kay addressed not only what we're doing locally, she presented some things nationally. I will say, even in our president's opening address, it does have, from our members, there's kind of a sense that a lot of states are passing us by in e-recording. So I thought Kay did a good job of addressing that and really trying to encourage the title agents and our members to be active with their local county recorders, to urge them along to gain e-recording. And if there is hurdles with, say, some of the auditors or assessors in that group, you know, to encourage them to be proactive and in contacting those groups as well. So I thought that went very well. I don't know if Kay or Jason want to add anything to that.
I did get an email from one of the title companies, and they did ask some questions. I had to quick confirm something with Jason, so I made sure I was saying it right on the ECRV. And her comment was, too, she wanted to go into two other counties who are not e-recording at the time, and she asked some questions about that. So I, you know, sent back, of course, an email and said that asked her to please encourage them when she contacts them, and that we would also maybe mention something at the conference because, you know, when you see Colorado coming up there and in such a very, well, we know North Dakota too, but in such an extreme brief time, and they have 100% e-recording in 64 counties, I believe they have. I just like the introduction when Jason and I got up there. You know, we started this in 2000. It's 2011. Colorado started when? 07. And they have 100%. So I think it's something that we need to address as a commission to find out how we as a commission can find out why we're not getting 100%, where some of the concerns are, and maybe walk some of these counties through the process a little bit too. I mentioned about the e-recorder's guide and the process of which they have to go through, and I think ours is, it's dated 2005, which is, you know, there's not a lot has changed in 2005, but it could be updated. But truthfully, maybe it just needs to have a checklist of things that counties need to do. I think we all know our vendors, and we know this process is easy, where in other states it's not so easy. The vendors, that might be like in South Dakota, where they're internal and they're not, the recording process is not something that they're going to, e-recording process, they're not going to develop as quickly as what we have the capabilities in Minnesota to do. So I would I would maybe suggest if we could do a survey, maybe even ask each of the counties, maybe break it down by districts to find out which districts are maybe more proactive in doing this, and maybe even finding out the counties even that we do have on our list, which we say is 28 to 30, but really which ones are actively e-recording. I don't think they may have signed up, but the submissions maybe are 1-2 years ago or something. So it would be nice to kind of have a inventory of what's happening maybe in the counties, and I think that could help push this forward a little bit. And then it might also help Jason to, you know, when you're contacting these, you know, places. It's like they may sign up for the ECRV, but that doesn't necessarily mean they're e-recording.
Correct. And like so, you say, the ones that are signed up for e-recording in general, I don't know which ones are more fertile ground to getting them on board in the ECRV. Because right. Like you say, they might not be active at all.
Right.
And you said it was Colorado, North Dakota, and what other states?
100%, Hawaii is 100%, and so is Colorado. Those are the two states that have 100%. Of course, Hawaii, which was the first one, only has one jurisdiction, so that makes it quite simple. But also a Minnesota company has the software for Hawaii. So, and Trimin's not here today to get the kudos on that one. But we're Colorado, Dallin, if you might help. Multiple vendors on that. So,
was there in Colorado, was there something spectacularly different they've done?
No, they had a lot of challenges too. They have a public trustee that has to see the document. They have multiple workflows. I think primarily what drove Colorado is that there was a sense between all of the county officials, whether it was the auditors, the treasurers, the recorders, the deeds, the clerks, that recognized the value and the efficiency. And so with the budget cuts, it wasn't easy going, and they didn't all come on at once, but seeing what could be done and then having the vendor support to, again, bring some solutions to help them with their workflow.
But otherwise it's not a different architecture, not different...
No.
Jeff, was Colorado wasn't one of the Torrens states, was it?
I don't believe so. I could take a
look. It seems like it was, but they had so very, very little. I don't know. It just seems like there was a comment back on it. But,
I don't recall
that they really...
Torrens being in Colorado.
Unless it would be so minor.
Yeah. It was the public trustee that was the big hurdle. Because they're located in a separate office and had to look at certain doc types but not other doc types. Hmm. But once that was made, again, there was no cost to the state to do that. And cooperation between all the vendors to make that happen.
I think the encouragement, too, is the title companies, if they can help work with us on this promoting and pushing.
Asking the counties.
Asking, yes. Could you e-record, because it would be beneficial to us. You know, that type of thing would really help us, because they can hear it from Mike and I, and you know how that goes in circles. You can say it over and over again. We may be the wrong messenger because they've heard us say it too many times. So you guys might be the title folks, and maybe the better messenger at this time.
So always best, I think, to hear from your customer. I think we all listen better from a customer than any of our peers.
And to kind of
maybe we shouldn't be that way, but we are.
To kind of throw this back a ways back. Jason, your comment, too, about legislation for the ECRV. Well, if you want quick action, that would be a way to do it. That would be really cool. I don't mean to force something on anybody, but to move down in a different path that's proactive,
that
would do
it. Understood by everyone that moving, at least for ECRV, which is not the broader e-recording issue, but for ECRV, moving people off the existing paper form as rapidly as possible reduce costs in many, many ways, and gets us to the end game, much more quickly. We do not want to drag out that process. And there was a major change that was done to the form many years ago when we added the Social Security numbers to the CRV, and that process took 6 months. And it also took, I think, legislation to get that point where we were not accepting the older paper form. But So I think credibly, in order to do it, we might need to do some legislation just to put some teeth behind it. Because really, the front line is the counties, not revenue. So if we are saying to counties, you know, direct people to use the new ECRV, if they still accept the paper form, it's pretty tough. You know, once it started to be processed, it's pretty tough to go, well, you shouldn't have. But maybe if we put a little teeth behind it in the legislation, maybe we can get that moving. I think the December date sort of sets the stage for being able to do that. Because once we've made the front-end form of ECRV the preferred form, and we get, say, 2 or 3 months of activity on it, you know, we can see how rapidly maybe the adoption happens. Hopefully the adoption happens very rapidly. And then I think we'll be in a position next year at the session to put into a sunset date that would be established. So,
I think that's expected, though. After you had brought up the December 1st date,
yes,
and had mentioned it in this group, and then I'm sure wherever you've said this, too, the comments come back that they feel that this is it. I mean, they feel that this date is it, because I know I've explained to a few people and saying, well, no, you know, you still can continue with the paper process.
Well, I wouldn't mind if they want to believe that this is it for the paper versus the ECRV. That's fine, right? But you know, and we want counties as much as possible to direct people. But, you know, there is no teeth in the process to punish anyone if they submit a paper and the county accepts the paper, right? There's just no way that we can enforce that, per se. We can't do that on December 1.
Right. Well, it's kind of like recorders. We have document standards, but there's no teeth behind them either.
Right.
So.
But once so we've got, you know, at this time next year, or say February of next year, we've got the front-end form being used for all sales in the state, or at least all counties of sale in the state, and we have some heavy adoption of that process. I think that putting a sunset date on the use of the paper form is a legitimate thing that we could maybe get some legislation on. And there's cost benefits to doing so, which I think makes it likely that it's something that could be put into a technical bill that would be, you know, passed or something of that nature.
It'd be nice then to cross over to the EWOL certificate that way, too.
And I'm sure there's counties that would be willing to put a terminal in their office to let people fill it out right there on the spot. I would venture to guess that would be very easy to do. Well, again, Jason, thank you much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
And Jeff,
and
thanks.
And Jeff, thank you so much for
your... Well, thanks to welcome. Jason and Kay. I did want to... One question, and we've talked about this before, and it came up again, is after Jason and Kay had left, I get this question quite a bit. I thought that's where the technology fund dollars were going, was for e-recording, and, you know, is that, you know, how do those two things sync up, and, you know, is that, A, are they not, you know, counties not able to collect enough money for e-recording, or is it that expensive or that difficult, and is it that technology fund money went to other places that weren't e-recording? So that was those kind of questions came up again. I quite frankly get that kind of question quite a bit.
Jeff, I from the state's perspective, I can tell you that what happens is that the portion, the $10 of the recording fee that's dedicated to state technology use just goes to the general fund.
$10.50,
okay. Thank you for that correction.
The money was never really necessarily designated specifically for e-recording technology,
right?
Money, but so it doesn't say that. So I think that unfortunately some of the counties have been using the money basically just to get basic office technology, which should be required and is listed in statute, that should be done automatically as a county response to the office being in existence. I do know that we need to go back to our counties and say to them that this money has to be dedicated more to this area. And you're right also when you say that counties, it takes a while to collect some of the, some some costs for e-recording are built into the vendor's system, and then other times when you have a vendor, it's an additional cost, and some of those are a little more difficult for these counties to come up with that additional extra piece of software money. And so that kind of is a difference with the vendors throughout the state. But when you have some of the smaller counties and they're doing, you know, less than, you know, 10 documents a day, it doesn't add up to a whole lot for them to do a lot. But on the other hand, you can save a couple years and it you can get there if you have to. So I think that's a message we have to get across.
So, like I said, that's a recurring question. And like I say, that's, and we've brought this up before, but it's the inability, and the technology money may be spent on the appropriate things. It's just there's a disconnect of saying, okay, this is what it is being spent on, and, you know, the title agent group doesn't really have that kind of visibility of what it's being spent on, because we know we put in a lot of support behind it as well when the bill came through. So that, like I say, that's the disconnect of information.
Yeah, that's a very good point too. I'm glad you brought it up, because it's something, you know, we probably should hone in on a little bit more too.
If I may, I mean, this is exactly one of the reasons why ECRV has taken so long to actually accomplish, because we did not have access to additional money directly. It was all in the general fund, and it would have taken, you know, a budget decision by the legislature to divert money specifically for funding something like this, which would have been a long, protracted, you know, process that we sort of skirted by getting some additional contributions from the counties. Those contributions, in theory, were coming directly from that technology money that you're talking about. You know, whether that's how it was out actually accounted for by each county, I don't know. But and that money was just the minimal amount to get two consultants to get the ECRV going and make it something that got the attention. And it accomplished that. It took a while to get the attention, even within revenue, of the right resources. And now that has occurred. But it is an ongoing process or problem that we do not have direct access to those funds in the general fund for doing this kind of technology piece.
Right, but just the ECRV is basically an auditor, treasurer, and assessor piece, not necessarily a specific recording piece.
Right.
So that, I'm going to kind of throw that
yes.
in on that too.
Yes.
So.
And one amendment to that statement, contributions from counties and industry.
Yes. Well,
much smaller, but the yes. contribution was there.
Yeah, I think, Jeff, you're right. I would tell you one of the things that I've certainly learned in the metro area, in order to successfully do electronic recording, many of the counties needed to implement either upgraded systems with their current vendor or replace old existing systems and kind of integrate Abstract and Torrens together to make electronic recording on a uniform standard platform possible. It's certainly what we've had to do in Hennepin, and why we postponed or put on a sabbatical electronic recording for a while to be able to replace our full system and have it fully integrated. And then for some of us, we heard pretty loud and clear from those same customers that they wanted web access to the information that's been recorded, and we put a high priority on that too. And no matter how many dollars you give me, I've only got so many resources, and there's only so many projects that you can be working on and successfully complete at the same time. And that's gone on, and I know our electronic recording's taken a lot longer to get back into the ballpark here than what I wish we'd had. But it isn't because we haven't been spending money on it. That's for one thing, and I do appreciate the resources that have been made available. And I know the county's looked at how we're going to do a tax system and a new assessment system so that someday we can finally integrate those things together. We worked with a vendor for a period of time that maybe sidetracked us on that wish list for several years, and spent a lot of money on that maybe didn't prove to be as fruitful as we wished it had been. But I think the day will come when that type of vision which I think was the right vision, will become a reality. But it's going to take server-based systems rather than mainframe-based systems, and that's what I think most of the counties have been trying to migrate to, and that technological change is really occurring, and that's kind of the behind-the-scenes stuff, Jeff, that you know your agents and the companies don't necessarily see, but I think if you talk to the backroom people in your own title companies and the banks, they'll tell you the same things been going on there. So.
Sure. Yep. No, understood. I think it's just trying to get the word out and trying to understand where that's at and that the perception, the reality, you know, are likely not the same thing, and that if they don't see something, it's perceived as no effort instead of there's effort, but just, you know, it hasn't come to fruition at this point.
But I think you and Kay are both right. We really do need to do a better job now of marketing to our colleagues.
I think we've kind of come to a standstill. When you see that we haven't moved much from 28 counties, and I do question how many of those 28 really are doing any recording. So we have to start marketing or pushing or finding out why this is happening in Minnesota when it's not happening in other states, I guess. That's what's so mind-boggling to me, that e-recording is just a different envelope in the mail is all as I can see it as. And, you know, I either have to manually open it and get a paper cut or I can just click a button. So I guess that's how I look at it.
And then we did the Mako conference in January to try to get the word out. It's really kind of, okay, what do we do as our next step then to go further? Maybe it's county surveys again to see where they're at. And
CAFCO pick up offer?
I sent it to Fran Winchell from Rice County and asked him, and his response back was, well, we'll put it down on the agenda. I did that after our last meeting, and have heard no response back. I would assume by now that their agenda was already set. But then that is not always the case with McCafco either. I also I had the impression when I was talking to him too that it was not something that they were real excited about doing. I would like to stress to the commission that we need to have representation for the auditor treasurers. We have to have them here and talking about this. Even in my own county, as much as I work well with my auditor and treasurer's office and assessor's office, it's I think a little bit of a backwards way of doing it, and I would like them to be more on board with it too. So, and I always kind of get the oh yeah, here she goes again look, and that's why we have to get them involved. So I would maybe like to suggest that we go back to McCafco back to Mako and request that they submit a replacement to our representative.
I think that's a good suggestion, Kay. I guess the question gets to be, do I do that directly with McCafco, or do we... I guess we've not adopted any rules about how many meetings do you get to miss before you are considered.
Well, I think nine is pretty good.
Yeah, there's like technically something regarding the legislature. If you don't miss it, if you miss so many meetings that are unexcused absences, that you can be replaced. Greg would know. I can find out what exactly it is. Nine is pretty good.
You can get a volunteer.
What happens if you have never mind.
I think in the legislation, doesn't it say, is it Mako picks that person, and then they go from Mako,
yes,
then they go and ask the president of McCafco to bring forth
it's
their...
whatever process Mako decides to chooses to use.
Right.
So Pam is the president of of Mako and
Hubbard County.
So we can check out the...
Yeah.
The legislation, get back to you guys. Yeah.
That would be a good...
Yeah. Jeff, thank you for the update. Appreciate it very much.
You bet.
I'm going to turn to the next item on the agenda, the County Recorder Committee. And I know we've got, I think, still Chris, if she's still there, and Pam, if you're still there. I thought maybe one item, and Chris, maybe if you're there, I'll just ask you to share a little bit. Chris has been doing yeoman work here in the last month, trying to get the recorders to get their recording numbers updated for the calendar year 2010, and she's done a pretty good job. We've got a couple of delinquents, and I know she sent me a note today even suggesting that maybe the chair get a memo or contact out to a couple that haven't gotten them in, and the chair would be happy to do that, Chris.
The ones that are still on, I've contacted them at a minimum 4 times.
She just needs to repeat.
Chris, you're blanking out on us here. We're not getting too much. Hello.
Yeah.
Chris?
Is anybody there?
Mike, can you hear me better now?
Oh, you're coming across loud and clear now.
Okay, I took it off a speaker. I was going to say I might need a bigger stick. The minimum I've contacted those parties has been at least 4 times.
Yeah.
And we are going to have a new data entry option coming. I'm working with Joe at Ewald on that, so it should get better for counties to monitor their own progress on that.
Okay. Well, I think it's a very useful tool, and I appreciate it very much. I know Diane just gave me some statistics just off the top on the recap, just to give a rough idea. We had, it looks like, about 97% of all the documents that came in last year came in paper form.
Yeah.
So that's down to about 3% that came in electronically. And of that 3%, it's pretty evenly divided between Model 3 and Model 2. And I guess that kind of gets back to what Kay, you, and Jeff were talking about. It's a lot easier to do Model 2, and there's not much excuse for not getting into it at that point. And it's just a matter of making a decision to move forward on it.
Well, and remember, again, we've got the issues with, like I have, with my AT and trying to get ECH pulls, things like that.
Yep.
That's been an issue, and Dallin's going to be... we're going to work on something with my auditor or treasurer. I haven't set it up yet, but I did send him an email because of what Jason to my assessor. Thank you.
We're you're getting interrupted again here, Chris. I don't know.
The to fully phonic, so that'll
Say the word twice and we might get it.
Oh, sorry.
Chris, are you at the bar?
No, I wish I was at the bar.
Now you're coming across loud.
Yeah. Okay.
This is
Jennifer on the phone, and I can hear all of Chris's words, so I think it must be on your end. Thank you, Jennifer.
It was that tornado drill that we heard here on the phone.
Okay, so I'm not sure what's going on. Do you want me to dial back in?
No, you're coming in loud now. Yeah. Just a slight interruption again then for just about 30 seconds. So.
Okay.
Are you guys hearing us? Let me ask that. Are you having any problem on the outside?
No.
Yeah, this is Janelle, and I can hear both you and Chris very well.
Okay. So you guys didn't have any trouble hearing Chris at all? Okay.
Not at all.
All right. Am I stepping on the cord here?
This is Marty, and I can hear everybody, and I don't even think you knew I was online, so I just let you know.
No, that's good.
So anyway, hopefully we'll have an easier method of data entry for these recordings, monthly recordings, and a more automated reminder. That's kind of my goal here.
Good.
And then the counties should be able to immediately see their totals and if they've data entered or not instead of having to do these updates. So I'm working on that with Joe from Ewald.
Okay. That would be good.
I did a quick count of the counties that look like they're either Model 2 or Model 3. And it looks like, I don't know, maybe I missed some, but 23 in total. So
Head documents that.
Well, and we've got a, little problem with reporting on that too. I know I have a couple of counties that report who cannot separate out Model 2 from Model 3. Their totals, so those can be, those may be slightly skewed.
Okay.
Just know that.
Okay. Okay. Well, just from what I know, if you're a county and you get into this business, at least when I keep hearing from my customers, there's so many of my customers that want to do it, that I know within the first 6 months, we're probably going to be at 25 to 35% of all of our documents will be coming in that way.
You will be.
Yeah.
And,
easy. Because Bonnie from Clay is at, what, 28% in January and February? 28%.
And that's with the existing market that exists right now. And just Dale and I know with some of the people you've got, and Jeff, I know with some of the people, customers you've got, we'll probably reach that total just between the two of you.
I'm at 15%, Mike. When you go on board, I bet you my totals will go up also at that time.
I'm hoping that will happen. Yeah, but that will be very positive in that sense. But we need to, 3% is not a very good number statewide.
Well, we know the reasons. You've been talking about it. There's a number of counties that because of the auditor-treasurer's not fully understanding, they blocked the particular doc types. There's the hesitation that they don't need to wait because they have the full approval. I think we know the core issues, but it's helping just push over that, whether it's fear or whether... and I do think what you touched on, Kay, Jeff mentioned on the phone, is just huge with helping them understand that ACH is more secure and a better process than checks. But there exists a mindset that I have to look at a check, but even then that's not guaranteed payment. So that's a funny loop that needs to be overcome, and then I think that we're there.
There's a couple possibilities. I'll contact Fran again from the CAFCO and just ask him how we can work together to get this out there.
And if that would help in any way, if I'm involved in any way, Kate,
I'll
let me know. I'm
throw
more
you
than
in
willing
it. Yep.
to
yep.
help in any way I can.
Yeah, because you'll be coming up too as president. That would you maybe? Aren't you coming up now this next year in January?
For the recorders.
Right, for the Recorders Association, so that we could have something on for sure next at the MACO conference once again next
Fran
year.
Fran wasn't able to make it to the MACO planning meeting last month.
All right.
So he wasn't able to be there for that because I was hoping to see him and chat with him a little bit about it, but he had a conflict, so he wasn't able to be there.
The other piece is the local vital registers are working on a credit card piece that we would be able then to utilize outside of just vital records. We would be able to use it in our office. So that would also provide another avenue of payment too, just by credit card. If ACH is so scary in the world, I don't know. I think the ACH would be a little cheaper than the credit card.
There's lots of fees associated with the credit card that have to be assumed, and so the county isn't going to pay an extra 1.5%.
It'll be $46 plus the fee. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, but I mean there are options.
Yeah. I'm one that's heard loud and clear from people like Jeff and Dallin and a few others that if we're going to be successful doing e-record, I'm not going to be able to insist on trust accounts for all the money from my paying customers. So we're looking into ACH as well and what it's going to take. And from a security standpoint, it clearly is just as secure as anything that you're going to find. The money is just as available as a paper check because the paper check isn't in your account the day you get it anyway. So, and ACHs are accepted by a state auditor in terms of being the same as a paper check so that you've got money in hand for the transaction. And the only question has become, well, they give you the paper check at the counter or you got it when the mail comes in, but if you don't do the ACH transfer until the end of the day, you know, is that still as good? And my answer is yes. But there are some that are concerned what the auditors are going to say about that, that you need to do a push or a pull on every single transaction. And I said, but nobody wants to do that. Nobody wants to have those fees. At that point, we'll know whether or not somebody's got money in the account, and that's all we need to know, and then do the final number transaction at the end of the day for each account.
Well, through the secured submitter agreement in Minnesota, it's guaranteed. So we won't sign up folks that won't guarantee the money to us, and then we guarantee it to the county.
Yeah.
So it's even better than a written check because it's been done. And then there's a once-a-day transaction, but then full accountability of all the pluses and stuff.
We'll have a new document that will be known as the recorder's lien.
The recorder's lien. Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, well, the ECH that we work in all of our trusted submitters use with, and it's a variation. I think some we pull, and then a couple of them I know they push into our account, which you guys might push into our account. There's a little more paperwork with it as far as on the backside for us, but all in all, not to have a bad check is a lot easier, and it has been, it's just been extremely easy for us and for our auditor's office to do so. And we've always gotten the money it's been in the account the next day, so never an issue.
And I would like to move away from escrows. I have one escrow account, and it's a pain every month going through making sure everything balances. And I shouldn't have to do it. It should be more automated. And I think ACH will help with that.
Yep. Well, I think we've gotten through that piece. Let's go on to the work that the subcommittee has done relative to new document additions. And I know, thank you, Chris, that you got some of that information transmitted to us here this morning. I don't think most of us have had a chance to look through it all, but maybe if between you and Pam, and I don't know if you've talked about who wants to talk a little bit about what the subcommittee has done and the work that they've gone through and what you've presented to us here to take a look at, I'll open it up to who's ever ready.
Well, Pam says she's coughing today, so... I guess I get to attempt to explain this by default. Can you still hear me?
We're hearing you loud and clear.
Okay.
You're sounding great right now.
What we did is took a look at the list, took a look at what other states and PREA and, you know, just a whole bunch of other subjects, and just thought that...
Chris, stop a minute now. All of a sudden, you just have cut out again. Hmm. Is there anything that you were doing in that period that's made that happen by chance?
Mm-hmm.
Or did I do something? Or
it doesn't... I mean, everything's still plugged in. And
we're hearing her well on the phone.
Are you?
Okay. Yep.
Okay. So maybe, Pam, do you want to try?
I will try.
Okay.
I'm
coughing the more I talk.
It might be the VoIP line itself, but it's weird. It's just with Chris. I don't know.
Just to pick up from where Chris left off that you did not hear her, we did meet and we looked at all the document types and we kind of left it in Larry's hands to start the list for identifying groupings of documents that could be grouped together and then identifying codes associated with those documents. Larry did send us a list. We're reviewing it. Chris, did you forward it on this morning?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
Okay. And I think we still need to go through and review it at least one more time. Or we should have the public review it at least.
Okay, and let me make sure I've got what you submitted here. The first item that I've got is a legal size paper. There's four pages that have identified. They start with the document titles and then document code, PIN required, XML legal, and then reference number across the top is what I C on that that submission. Is that right?
And yes, that's correct.
Are those all the document titles that we had already approved and been working on? Is that right?
I think what happened was, and it's color-coded. Chris had gone through and identified some documents that were no longer in the the Minnesota Uniform Conveyancing Blank Forms.
Sorry, I didn't print it out in color, but there's a lighter color and a darker color.
Gotcha.
On it. There was just two colors, I think.
Okay.
And then there was another document. I don't know. These were the North Dakota documents. I don't know if they were put in. Chris, do you know if the two lists are put together?
I think Larry incorporated what's on the other list into this one from what I gathered from his email. And I'm trying to remember. He said blue was... Hang on, I've got it right here.
It was on yellow.
We only have one spreadsheet that was printed off. The one.
Right. The lines highlighted in blue are the added lines from Rob's list.
Yes.
And then the second list is Rob's list. The items highlighted on his list are those I accommodated for on our list.
This is what I see.
So, he moved them, he migrated them over to the main list.
Great.
What was the two colors on the document list? You know, the one where it's got the affidavit, blah, blah, blah. Not Rob's list, your list.
Yellow and blue.
Yellow and blue. So the lighter shade is yellow. Yeah.
Right.
So okay. affidavit other with reference... is yellow, is that right?
Yeah, that was added.
And
affidavit other with legal, that was added because it's in yellow.
And then agreement, if I go down, an agreement, severance, or release, that's in blue?
That's in blue, and that's the one that they were added from Rob's list.
Okay.
The yellow ones are... I guess I'm a little confused on Larry's email. I'll have to ask him exactly what he meant, but I'm thinking the blue is what he added.
According to his email, it looks like the blue are from Rob's list.
Right, it does.
I don't know what the green one is, though. There's one green one, which is ordinance.
Maybe that's the one Larry added. He doesn't reference that.
Which one is the green one?
Ordinances?
I don't know if you have lines printed off. It's line 97, so it's about 11 up from the bottom.
I wonder if Larry doesn't have that coded green because ordinances aren't, they may be recorded but not aren't commonly recorded in most counties as a document type. That's what sets it apart in my mind.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that was his intention. We'll have to ask him when he comes back.
Okay.
But as you can see, the list gives codes that would be a drop-down, and then really the thing that governs is... do they require a PIN, do they require a legal, or do they require a reference number? And that's how I believe the schema then will fall out. Correct me if I'm wrong, Pam.
Yeah, that was the goal.
And then we get rid of identifying them by doc type?
Right.
And then you just list them all out alphabetically?
Right.
And from what Larry explained to me on the phone the one day we talked, this would make his auditor treasurer much happier.
Yes.
And he thought this was going to help all of the auditor treasurers be a lot happier doing it in this fashion.
Right, because they need to know which types of documents, when they float through, what if they do need to collect or not collect.
Now, my question... Pam, do you know, I'm assuming vendors would probably prefer the other model rather than this, just in terms of coding? Now, Pam, you're breaking up on us, too, so.
Can you hear me now?
You broke up there on that one, too. It's just supposed to be me. We've got
everyone who speaks is breaking up.
That's so weird.
Yeah.
That's a new conference phone we're using, too. So it could be some sort of error with the conference phone. Brand new.
Okay.
That one's brand new. Sorry, guys.
Under warranty.
Yes. Yes. We just signed the maintenance agreement on that one the other day, and we discussed that.
You didn't get this from Northern Japan, did you?
It would be a Quest product.
Okay. Okay.
Can you hear me now as I cough through this?
Yeah, we're hearing you.
Okay, I'll speak quickly. The PREA model has the document type that is enumerated, and it has a finite set of values that can go into there, and that is something that I would say 99.9% of the vendors out there use for an identifier along with the code.
And that's what you're suggesting now at this point?
Yeah. The type is not on that spreadsheet, but I think we have to go back and group them into certain types. Now, whether we call everything other, you know, that would be fine, because PREA doesn't identify all the types. So there has to hit a point where a document title does not fit in a type that PREA has identified, but PREA has also given us other.
Okay.
Did you hear that?
Yep, dear. We heard that loud and clear. Do you put other, just other period, or do you put other, affidavit other, deed other, notice
according
other.
To PREA, the type has to be other period, and then they also have a type other description, which you could further define if you so chose.
What I'm getting at is, it seems to me the important element is whether or not you're going to require a reference number, a property identification, or an XML legal. That seems to be the key, but if you just had other, you couldn't be consistent on that. What I'm thinking is, are all of the affidavits, now all the affidavits don't fall the same way, do they? Okay.
See,
that's
if we,
probably
if
what
we,
you all have been kicking around, I bet.
If we group it by a type, and then you could type that type can be associated whether it needs a reference or a legal or a PIN. But I thoroughly believe we need a type, unless there's some vendors there that can tell me that type is absolutely not necessary and the code is good enough.
Why couldn't you have an affidavit other as the type? So it's an affidavit other. You could have a deed other.
You can. It's just that the type is enumerated in PREA, so you would have to, they have affidavit as a type,
yep.
And they have other as a type. So you could choose other, and then in the other type description, say affidavit-other.
But what if we thought in Minnesota we have an affidavit-other? That's the name of the doc type.
And that's fine. We just have to either add to the enumerated list that PREA already has, or put it in the attributes that PREA says we should put them in. But we can accommodate it either way.
The vendors can as well. You tell us what you want to do and we can accommodate.
Well, I think if Chris, Larry, and I get together and we group these and see how we can type them together to see how many types we actually need and the types and the actual types we need, then we can definitely come back and make a suggestion.
Okay, I think that would be very helpful. The question that I was getting at is, we're always going to have people that are going to come up with new document names, and they're going to want to fit them in here somehow, somewhere. And what I'm hearing you telling me, Pam, is that with the PREA standard, it's just the miscellaneous name of other. If you can't find one that fits, then use other. But will you know for sure what the PIN requirement is, the XML and the reference number is then? And what's
Yeah, because the code would drive that.
But does
the
it have to
column
be?
B document code could drive that.
Okay.
So, for instance, in the spreadsheet that Larry sent out, I don't know if you have line numbers, but it's line 18 and 19. It's the two colored ones, the very first two shaded ones that you're seeing. Affidavit other with reference, affidavit other with legal. The code implies two different values, and then based on those values, you could drive what the requirements are for the PIN and the reference and the legal. Because that code would be specific, both would be specific to need number, this or affidavit. Type the affidavit as you option in the standards. You could type it as an affidavit, and your code would be AFFO. And then based on those two things, it would imply that the reference number is required based on our business rules and the schema that Dean or whoever will be doing.
Okay.
Or you could say my type is other. My type other description is affidavit other with reference. My document code is AFFO, and again, that would imply that reference number is required.
And you reject when it hits the county, if it doesn't meet that or it's misaligned, then that's where it's rejected and the education takes place where to submit it.
Okay. What I'm kind of going through, Pam and Chris, and what I'm seeing here is that you've kind of done that and taken affidavit other with reference as you were talking, and I see there's also assignment other. And then you've got power of attorney other, mortgage other.
So those are kind of the catch-all. It's like if a document title wasn't identified, then falls under other based on whether it requires a reference or it requires
okay.
the legal.
And that's what I was thinking would make it easier to do rather than just have one document title of other and try to catch everything other than you really specified other under all these various types already. Okay. What will the county's indexing companies have to do coding-wise with this type of change? Will this be an issue for them? We don't have Bill or anybody from West Central or Fiddler
on
board.
Joel's on the line, isn't he?
Is who on?
Isn't Joe or Joel on the line?
Oh, Joe is,
Or was.
Joe, are you still there? No? West Central, anybody there? I guess not.
I can't really speak for them, but my assumption is that based on the code, it would drive their business rules. That code would match to something in their back-end system that would say this
would
is
match
required.
Things up that way.
My assumption, but I honestly couldn't say.
Well, let me ask this. If you guys can continue to take a look at this, we've got it now posted out on the website for any of the other, or do we?
We don't have it posted for questions, but we can do that process, I mean, if you'd like. You know how we've done it before.
Right
now it's just posted as meeting material. It's one of the handouts.
Well, and I think that's probably best what we do at this point. for people to look at.
It isn't fully, you know,
it's not fully developed or finished yet. But
right, we need to tweak it.
So you can just point people to, it'll be the archive of the meeting.
Yep.
It'll have the handouts, so you can just point people to that.
To take a look at
that. Yeah, and I can, and we can do a follow-up email once we move the stuff. Yeah. So,
okay.
Yeah, today or tomorrow.
And I think if we did that, then we can take a look at it at the next meeting and see where we're at on that front. I think that would be very helpful. Okay. Pam or Chris, do you have anything else?
I think that's it for now.
Well, thank you very much for the work done. This is, I know, going to be very helpful.
Have some chicken soup, Pam. Oh.
You don't find this sexy, this voice?
That's husky.
Singer made a lot of money off a voice like this.
I think it's the laugh before the cough.
Pam, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
I'll mute myself.
And get well. Get well. Anyway, thank you all very much on that front. We're going to get something yet for you, Rob. I think this is going to make it much easier to have some miscellaneous things under these various document names, which will be other.
Yeah.
And we won't have to come back every time we've got a new name that somebody dreams up for...
Particularly for commercial transactions.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. Most of them, they're all one of a kind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that'll be helpful.
Yeah.
Can I ask a quick question? So I could send out a post email.
You can send out an email to all the participants.
Yeah, and ask them to take a look and say it's not final. This is not it's not a final post.
It's a work in progress.
Just ask them to send comments to Chris, Larry, and Pam, or one of the folks. You know who's, I mean, to you or where would you like the comments to go to?
Larry.
Larry?
He's not here.
Larry it is.
I'll
CC Larry on that email.
Well, it definitely needs to go to the committee here because they're the ones that are the most familiar here and will identify it the best. So, let me ask a question. If we had a meeting in May, do you think you'd have more information at that point?
If everybody gets healthy, we'll be okay.
That was subtle.
You know?
The June meeting overlaps the recorders conference, so...
I'm not going to be there, but, you know, Larry will probably be there.
So if you're considering making a change to the schedule, you may not want to cancel the May 1 because of the June.
Well, that's what I was going to get at, is when they might have something ready for us to look at. And then I was going to maybe look at the schedule to see where we're at. So what, the June meeting is when the recorders conference is?
Oh.
Okay.
Unless we have an ERER meeting up there, and then you guys will all have to come up to the meet. Well, Dallin, you'll already be there, but all the rest could come up. You could have a vacation up at the resort. No?
We'll participate by phone.
you think we're not going to be in a special legislative session? Don't hold your breath. Okay. Well, I think that we ought to probably continue the May meeting on the schedule. And I'm thinking that maybe we... We'll discontinue the June meeting, but we could probably wait till the May meeting to decide that. And maybe we move that then into July or see where we're at. Okay, let's we'll plan for this as another update at the May meeting, Chris and Pam. And we'll tell Deline that he has to stay in town now. And we'll get Pam some chicken soup and we'll get Chris through her master's degree here, so we'll be all set by the end of May, right?
Oh, are you paying for it?
just like the commission pays for everything else, Chris.
Is this the second weekend?
No, I'm a volunteer. I know.
Third.
The 19th of May, then?
Third Thursday in May is the scheduled date. Is that the 19th?
I'll be here.
You won't be here?
Still, I can pull it up in a second here. May 19th. May 19th?
May 19th is the scheduled date.
We can change it. I mean,
The reason I was going to raise a question about the May 19th date is that's the legislative wrap-up you're getting into there. You're going to be, it's going to be more difficult to get a room here, number one.
Yeah.
You're going to have bloodshot eyes by then. Or they're going to get a lot more bloodshot in the next 3 days after that. What is it, the 20? Is it the Monday after that that it's
going to be? Yeah, that must be the third Monday, must be the 23rd.
Okay.
A room isn't an issue.
It's not, okay.
No, because if they're in conference committees, they'll be over in the Capitol.
You're also welcome to meet here at William Mitchell.
Ooh.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah, if it's in May, finals will be over, and you know, so parking shouldn't be an issue. We can also reserve spaces for you if you like.
Do you have a conference phone capability? Oh.
Mm-hmm. We do somewhere around here, yes.
I may want to have another conversation with you, Eileen, on another on a longer term basis.
We do meet me still.
Sure. And I can check on that. I know it would work out during the summer. I don't recall if we have rules about outside meetings during when the fall and spring semester are in session, but I can certainly find that out.
Okay.
Do you have recording equipment?
Well, if we didn't do the 19th, and if we put it off to the next Thursday, session would be over.
The only thing I'm thinking is Labor Day.
Memorial Day,
sorry.
Oh, that's coming up. That
doesn't matter. You can have it on the 19th. That's fine.
I won't be here.
Which day, Eileen?
I won't be here on the 19th.
You won't. Well, I know we haven't got you and Kay here then for sure right now on the 19th.
Yeah, you could move it to a different day of the week instead of a Thursday.
Yeah, that's Wednesday.
That's when
you're gone that week. And Eileen, you're gone that week, or?
Not me. It's the 23rd.
What about the 24th?
Could do that.
Kay, are you here on the 24th?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good.
Bob?
And in the afternoon.
Jeff, are you still there?
Yep. That works good for me.
Thursday the 24th would work okay?
Yep. And yes, Pam, your voice did sound sexy.
She's having some soup, Jeff. Shirley Temple soup.
Is it a Tuesday?
Is that a Tuesday?
Tuesday,
mm-hmm.
Tuesday, right?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry.
Oh, the 24th is a Tuesday?
Yeah. Does that not work for you?
No, that's... I know I have a standing meeting, but I control that one. I can change that. It's not one that I'm... So if it was Tuesday afternoon, the 24th, I can do that.
You can send out an announcement real quickly. We'll send out an email. Do you guys want to change? Yes.
I think that would make I think it would make more sense. Kay, I'd like to have you here for that discussion. Eileen, I'd like to have your weigh in on what the work of the committee does on that point as well.
What point?
What the committee is doing about the names and how we categorize them with reference numbers and so forth.
Oh, sure.
And hopefully we'll have more of a report for that meeting on their follow-up thinking and any follow-up that comes from the discussion we've had today. Well, let me ask this. Would people be comfortable in changing the meeting then on the 19th to the 24th of May? And then I think if we, at this point, would plan to probably not have a meeting then in June?
Great.
That will take care of the May and the June meeting, so to speak. And so, as long as we're on that topic, it's not precisely on the agenda, but just for everybody's information, we've been having discussions about how the commission will get supported here going forward, and we're having some discussions about getting a partner to help us do the scheduling, the notices, the minutes for the meeting, for the state LCC to continue having the website as the site for hosting the information and the schemas, the requirements, and so forth. And there's been some initial discussions with AMC. And Diane, can you tell me, has AMC responded with the agreement? I've not heard anything back from them.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think Greg asked. I'm sorry, I don't remember.
Joe, what's his name?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I've not heard back.
So we can touch base with Greg on that one, yeah.
Okay.
I forgot to do that.
I do have some thoughts about other partners if we need to do that, which might be William Mitchell. Eileen, you can fill in the rest of the pieces.
We can provide the meeting space. I don't know about the minutes and all that other stuff.
Yeah. Well, the other partners I might think of and have not talked to any would be the Bar Association and or MLTA as other potential partners in that sense, mm-hmm. that have been involved from the beginning. But anyway, those are just
creative thoughts.
Well... I don't know if it's creative. I mean, people we work with all the time.
Well, that's what I mean. It's just so obvious.
It's so obvious. It hits you in the face. Yeah. You don't think about it. Right. But I think that would, again, be one. And Diane, I've not talked to Greg about that. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what his concerns would be, if any. And I don't know whether any of those organizations would be interested or if it would be a benefit. Yeah. But there'd have to be some more discussions on the whole thing. But
yeah. I think right now, I mean, we're looking at ourselves, perhaps, a 15%, well, right now in the Senate, state government's a 15% reduction to the LCC itself budget. And then in the Senate, that's on the Senate side, and the House side, and in their omnibus bill, it's a 10% reduction to the actual overall budget. So you know, we don't know at this point, you know, how things are going to be. It's actually going to the conference committee today, but, you know, who knows at this point. Yeah, and unfortunately we're getting, the LCC seems to get a lot of projects coming at us without additional funds. So Greg is concerned about the resources that we're able to provide as far as staff goes. So.
Right. And how can you take on all of that? And just, well,
yeah,
uh-huh. you then end up not capable of doing a good job on anything. Then you get criticized for other reasons.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. No, I hear it. Well, anyway, just let Greg know. I'm more than willing to keep working on this and find a solution that will work for all of us on this.
Yep, and I'll touch base with him if he's heard back from AMC yet. And, you know,
and if I need to do some more follow-up there, too. Okay. Yeah. Okay. But anyway, I just wanted all the commission members to be aware of that, that's some ongoing discussion on how to support the commission going forward here, basically as we get to the next biennium here now. So, yep.
We appreciate it. Thanks.
Yep. Thank you. That is the other business item that I had.
So can I ask, the June meeting is canceled or should we?
Yes.
Okay.
At this point, we'll cancel the June meeting. The next meeting after that, I think, is the third Thursday in July at this point. Anyone have any other item to come up for business today? If not, a motion to adjourn would be in order.
Oh, I'll make that motion.
It's been moved to adjourn.
We just
do. Do you want a second?
Jeff?
I'll second.
Moved and seconded to adjourn. That is not a debatable item. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any unopposed? Hearing none opposed, motion carries. Thank you all very much. See you in May.
Thanks, everybody. Thank you. Bye.